Where we are here, we're standing just a bit outside the old city of Hebron, and here what we have is what it's called in Hebrew, the Ma'arot HaMakpila, the double cave. In the Bible it says that Abraham have paid 400 shekels. Shekels meant weight of silver. They didn't have coins back then. And he bought it to bury his beloved wife, Sarah. So it became the burial place for the patriarchs and the matriarchs, the Isaac, Jacob, and their wives, and so forth. Now, we don't know what kind of building existed during the reign of David, for example. You know, King David became a king for 7.5 years, ruled out of Hebron, and then he chose Jerusalem afterwards. So the only time we know from through history that there was a building on the site to in-house these holy caves, the double caves, is from the time of Herod the Great. And that particular building you're looking at, it's the only intact building in the Holy Land, in Palestine, from time of Herod, from the 20 BC, and over 2,020 years old. Now, again, Abraham, the issue is Abraham, the the father of monastic religions. So Byzantines came after the Romans, and they've built the church right on the top. And the Muslims came after them, destroyed the church and built a mosque. Then the Crusaders came over, built, destroyed the mosque and built the church. And Salah ad-Din comes over again, destroyed the church and built the mosque. And that was, all these activities were on the top of that structure you're looking at, these big blocks of stones. The Mamluks have really diverted a little bit in the structure for as far as entrance is concerned. The Mamlukan period is from the 13th century up to the 16th century, and they just have added a couple staircases with minarets around the building. Now in 94, this is for the incidents I spoke about in the bus that took place, and Goldstein went into the Islamic side during Ramadan early morning and killed 21 people where they were kneeling down to pray, dead. But there's a lot of injuries. A lot of them are crippled, living still in Hebron. And ever since that was partitioned, and this is when we started to have the problem, the real stiff problem between the communities, the Muslims at one side and the settlers on the other side. And then this is when we start to have more settlers coming in to live inside the old Hebron town, like Avraham Avinu and the others, and Beit Shemanu and the others.
And this here's the old city, so...
Greg Rollins is with Christian Peacemaker Team, or CPT. They've been in Hebron since 1995.
Yeah, Christian Peacemaker Teams. It was inspired by a speech given by a Mennonite by the name of Ron Sider back in, I think, 86 at the Mennonite World Conference in Europe. And he said that, you know, there would never be peace in the world until there was an army of Christians or an army of people against violence putting their lives on the line for peace, the way soldiers do it, basically. Anything from standing and observing a checkpoint to taking food to families. I mean, we had the Red Cross call us up once and say, we have some food for a family that is under curfew and they can't get out. Can you take it to them? And so we came and got the food, and taking it to them, soldiers stopped us and said, no, you can't pass. And we said, well, this family needs food, and they said, that's not our problem. And we said, well, it's our problem, so we'll pass. And we weren't rude about it, we just said, I'm sorry, but this is what we have to do. And as it turned out, one CPTer ended up passing, the other CPTer ended up staying with the soldiers and talking to the soldiers. And they didn't do anything, they yelled and screamed, but they didn't do anything, they didn't arrest anybody.
What are some problems that are unique to Hebron that you've noticed in the time you're here, or that the people since 95 have documented in terms of this conflict or situation?
Well, because the settlers live so closely to Palestinians and use the same streets as the Palestinians and use the same buildings as the Palestinians do, one of the things that we've all noticed is just the different treatment, how the settlers are given priority for everything. I mean, the reason, the vegetable market, the Hebron vegetable market used to be just one block away from here. And it was the center of the city. Everybody went there. It was crowded. The settlers, they wrote a list of things that they wanted to happen. They wanted it closed. The street out here that I showed you, they wanted it closed to Palestinians. There's a whole bunch of different things on this list, and a lot of those things have the army went and did. So just the general treatment between, you know, first class and fifth class citizens or people, you can't call them Palestinian citizens because they're not Israeli citizens, but the way that they're treated just as human beings.
A year ago this time, on a weekly basis almost, the Palestinians were shooting and killing Israeli soldiers or police or settlers. And then it calmed down. Tensions seemed to take turns between the north and the south of the West Bank and Gaza. When the north is really bad, the south is quite quiet. And when the south is quite bad, the north is quiet. So right now it's kind of quiet here, but I mean, it could pick up at any moment. I've seen Palestinians try and stab soldiers before. And
are they generally young boys?
Yeah, they're usually younger. Yeah, usually young men. Late teens, early 20s, but I mean, I saw a Palestinian woman try and stab a soldier once, and I've met Palestinian women who've tried to stab soldiers and were caught and sent to jail. Sometimes you get kids throwing rocks, and then you get the other way around. You get violence from settlers against Palestinians.
In addition to the continuing conflict between Palestinians and the ideological settlers, the insatiable claims for land in the Hebron district by Israel are increasing tensions drastically. Mr. Hattash of the Grassroots Land Assessment Organization in Hebron says the city stands to lose hundreds of acres to the Israelis.
The Israeli government claim that this area is for Bedouin, but this is a big lie because these families are bought this land from the Bedouin before the Turkish period. And we have many documents to approve that this land is a private land, not state land or military area as they claim. They claim that these lands are state land. If you want to ask anyone from Sharon to the main street, what is the meaning of state land? He cannot give you answer. Since 1967 until Oslo Agreement in Hebron District, they confiscated more than 400,000 dunams. After Oslo Agreement, they confiscated 276,000 dunams. This is the Israeli piece. In the settlements maps, they divided the Palestinian land also three parts. First, the Palestinian territories, cities and villages. Second, settlements. Third, the empty area. There is no empty area. Just they want to expand the settlements and to prevent the Palestinian people to use this land. They prevent the Palestinian people to build houses, to make wells, water wells, to cultivate the trees, to plow the land, to do anything. And today, 1:30 today, I came from Al-Baqa'a, near Kharsina. The bulldozers are working now, and they uproot thousands of trees, grapes, and hundreds of olives trees, almond trees also. They want to open a road to connect between a military base, which located between Kiryat Arba and Kharsina settlements, of course, which called Baruch Base, military Baruch base, and to outposts that they established it in the north of Kiryat Arba, and they want to annex hundreds of dunams of land to Kiryat Arba.